Hello, podcast friends. This is your host, Pedro Diaz, aka Peter Days from the Latino Experience, cultural brokering here. And in this podcast, you're going to learn about culture, learn about myself, the host, about what the projects I'm into right now. And this episode is about career change. And I see that many people are going through this because of the pandemic. And because of the internet, and because now it's beautiful to work remotely, and I'm very grateful that I've been able to do it by my language interpreting work. But now I would like to grow or change my career in a way, or just add to it. And because I realized most of my life I've been using my voice to work for money at a customer service, retail, to a university, giving speeches and doing some political work, and afterwards some sales teams, marketing teams. I've always been in the somehow using my voice for work, and now I get to this point where the digital explosion has gotten, and we want to explore new careers. And I just thought voiceover is a good pivot for me because of my sound studio that I have for my interpreting work, and because it seems kind of fun to use your voice and kind of play the animation, and it's just in a way similar to interpreting. So I felt like it was a good pivot. And this is also why I'm recording. I just want to say thank you to whomever is listening. And this podcast is in the self-improvement page because I started that. I always start some of the business because of that. I just want to self-improve, get better at something. And I'll just read some of my notes that I have here. I will work on myself first. I always work and do some work first. By writing and reading before my job. And that's kind of my notes. So that's, I've been pushing myself to read more and write more and just be able to communicate better. And this is part of it. But I feel like I have something is calling me, a lot of pieces to the puzzle are calling me to be a better communicator, be a better communicator. So this is why I'm doing this. And the podcast is going to be break down in two parts. Well, first part is some of the notes that I learned from my voiceover class. And the second part, it's going to be a reading in Spanish to practice my reading skills and my Spanish skills. And I hope you guys enjoy it, and thank you. Take care and goodbye. So here's some notes and different types of voices and different types of tones that I picked up from this class that I'm taking. So number one is high energy. You can say high energy. Man, I'm going to say car salesmen have high energy. T-Mobile representatives have high energy. Wall Street people probably have high energy. And then second, good energy is more of a relaxed. I feel like it's more of a sporting good store. That's the first thing that comes to my mind when I thought about good energy, is like Dick's or just sporting good stores where, hey, how are you doing? Like, if you need anything, let me know. I mean, it's fun. You're in there most of the time. Sports are fun. So recreational stores might be good energy. Third voice or tone is good guy or girl next door, which is more polite, I would say, than Dick's or any sporting goods store, because it's your neighbor. You somehow don't know that person, but because you live next to them and you want to take care of them, you want them to look out for your stuff and your family as well. So you got to be very straightforward, very trustworthy, clear, and you're the guy next door. Subdue. Man, do I have experience being subdued, which I kind of hate, but I don't hate anything. But I sometimes, when you play an interpreter role, you're kind of subdued. You're, in a way, you're not less. You're just passing a message, and it can be a sad message. But when I think about subdued, is more like someone like a soldier speaking to a general, or someone that has an entry level position, and you have to respond to your supervisor in a subdued tone. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. How may I help? Of Jenny, whatever her name is. Yes, of course, of course. Very subdued, almost agreeing to everything. And then monotone, I think it's more, could be medical, it could be more instructional videos and that type of thing. So to create a demo, I mean, you can find some examples online, and then you have to write the script yourself. You can't be using other people's script. So if you're a do-it-yourself script writer like I am, remember, edit, edit, edit. And after that, revise, revise, revise. And this is kind of giving me myself some advice, because, man, I could definitely use a revise sometimes. And then elements. Who are you talking to? Who is one person that you're talking to? And for example, I like to think that I'm speaking to my brother, which is kind of my best friend or my trustworthy partner. So I like to think about that person sometimes when I speak to him, because I'm more relaxed when I think about my brother. I'm like, oh, it's a very relaxed scene, and we kind of get along, and we can go back and forth, and it's a cool conversation. Now, hand gestures. I do this already when I'm interpreting for people for my job, for nurses. Like, they'll be like, I have pain in my right arm, and I touch my right arm, and I'm, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, my head hurts, like I'm touching my head. Like, the hand gestures use when I interpret, and it helps. And then character. What character are you at? Sometimes as an interpreter, you have to play the doctor. So you have to be very clear, straightforward, and direct. And sometimes you're the patient, which is not straightforward and not direct, which is going around sometimes a circle. It depends on the character. But for voiceover, and I kind of bring in my interpreting skills into this, the voiceover characters, I mean, you get back to the energy. You have to find out what type of energy your character has. High energy, good energy, guy or girl next door, subdue or monotone, depending on what your boss or what the company is asking for, right? And then there's some, Audacity is a recording software that you can already record audio. And again, podcasting, changing career difficulties, 6 months challenge. Man, my wife, she constructively criticized my podcast, and she found an old episode of me just, oh man, just saying love, 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 love. And I think I was doing that as a habit, just to make sure that I'm record something and that I'm putting out something. But I just want to step up my podcast game, and you have to give good content. And sometimes I don't, like, man, is my content any good? And I started this just to kind of express my ideas, and hopefully this helps someone. Hopefully they're going through the same thing. And that's why the pot changing career, sometimes it's so difficult to get started, because, man, you gotta believe that it, you gotta believe that it's gonna work out. And sometimes it doesn't. But you got to just trust that you're on the right path. And changing careers, trust me, it's difficult. It's difficult and complex, and it requires a lot of things. But here are some notes to myself. Focus for longer periods of time on writing and reading. You will advance rather quickly. Go put your mind into something. Make it a habit. And that's kind of me talking to myself. Just focus for longer periods of time when I'm writing and reading and planning. And I'll go rather quickly. Sometimes I'm thinking like, man, what do I even record this podcast? This is going to take years and years for me to have any success. So sometimes you're not motivated, and you just get stuck in a job. And then this is a quote from Mike Tyson. You have to be the champ before you become the champ. You have to have the lifestyle of the champ before you become the champ. Mike Tyson. It's just that attitude, that the belief, like, you have to believe that, in my case, that this podcast is going to work out, that people are going to benefit from it, that I'm doing it in goodwill, and it will be successful. It is successful already because I'm doing it. And then another idea about Mike Tyson's, and it kind of suits me because of my interpreting work and the stuff that I do with kind of cultural brokering. Maybe the building relationship with hotel administration might be good for my company. And then again, read over, voiceover practice. It's kind of what I'm doing right now with attention and focus. You got to work like a big opportunity is around the corner. You got to think that way, because sometimes you won't do it. You won't record yourself. It's closer than you think, all of your dreams. And I like that feeling to think like, man, you might think this is just a dumb episode, or whatever, this interpreting work's not paying me well, or not being appreciative, but just think that something around the corner is happening. It's just like, keep pushing it, keep bettering yourself, keep sending emails. It's around the corner. It's closer than you think. And what I mean by dreams for me is health for my family and friends, and financial freedom. Those are three things that really are important. Read and work more. Keep doing reps. It will come. It's about building habits. And then the demo, it's going to be 1 minute for 5 spots, 15 seconds each. That's around 40 to 45 words, new and current. And then there's some platforms where you can sell your voiceover. Voices 123, Voices, Fiverr, Voice Bunny. And my task is create gigs on Fiverr, better copy for my Facebook ads. And this is funny, but it might be true. I would describe my voice as a voice a grandmother is going to enjoy. It's funny because it's true. And those are my notes, guys, from voiceover script demo. And again, if you're changing careers, man, hang in there. I feel you. The slowness, the, man, sometimes the rejection. Just stay with it, and we'll make it happen. You gotta believe before you see it. Kind of the Mike Tyson quote, you gotta be the champ before you become the champ. You gotta know that this podcast is already successful. This podcast is already making money. This podcast is already saving me, making it a hobby, making it a good hobby, making it a smart hobby. You know what I mean? It's already here. And that's kind of the mentality I wanted to share with you guys. And thank you again for listening. Los pensamientos son cosas. El hombre que pensó en la manera de asociarse con Thomas A. Edison. Desde luego, los pensamientos son cosas, cosas muy poderosas, cuando se combinan con la exactitud del propósito, la perseverancia y un imperioso deseo de convertirlas en riquezas, en otros objetos materiales. Hace algunos años, Edwin C. Barnes descubrió lo cierto que es que los hombres realmente piensan y se hacen ricos. Su descubrimiento no surgió de pronto, sino que fue apareciendo poco a poco. Empezó por un ferviente deseo de llegar a ser socio del gran Edison. Una de las características principales del deseo de Barnes es que era preciso. Quería trabajar con Edison, no para él. Observé con detenimiento la descripción de cómo fue convirtiendo su deseo en realidad y tendrá una mejor comprensión de los principios que conducen a la riqueza. Cuando apareció por primera vez en su mente, Barnes no estaba en posición de actuar según ese deseo o impulso del pensamiento. Dos obstáculos se interponían en su camino. No conocía a Edison y no tenía bastante dinero para pagarse el pasaje en tren hasta Orange, New Jersey. Estas dificultades hubieran bastado para desanimar a la mayoría de los hombres en el intento de llevar a casa el deseo. Pero el suyo no era un deseo ordinario. El inventor y el vagabundo. Barnes se presentó en el laboratorio de Edison y anunció que había ido a hacer negocios con el inventor. Hablando de su primer encuentro con Barnes, Edison comentaba años más tarde, estaba de pie ante mí con la apariencia de un vagabundo, pero había algo en su expresión que transmitía el efecto de que estaba decidido a conseguir lo que se había propuesto. Yo había aprendido tras años de experiencia que cuando un hombre desea algo tan imperiosamente que está dispuesto a apostar todo su futuro a una sola carta para conseguirlo, tiene asegurado el triunfo. Le di la oportunidad que me pedía, porque vi que él estaba decidido a no ceder hasta obtener el éxito. Los hechos posteriores demostraron que no hubo error. No podía haber sido el aspecto del joven lo que le proporcionaran su comienzo en el despacho de Edison, ya que ello estaba definitivamente en su contra. Lo importante era lo que él pensaba. Barnes no consiguió a su asociación con Edison en su primera entrevista. Obtuvo la oportunidad de trabajar en el despacho de Edison por un salario insignificante. Transcurrieron los meses. En apariencia, nada había sucedido que se aproximase al codiciado objetivo que Barnes tenía en mente como su propósito inicial y preciso, pero algo importante estaba sucediendo en los pensamientos de Barnes. Intensificaba constantemente su deseo de convertirse en socio de Edison. Los psicólogos han afirmado con todo acierto que cuando uno está realmente preparado para algo, aparece. Barnes se hallaba listo para asociarse con Edison, además estaba decidido a seguir hasta conseguir lo que buscaba. Estaba decidido a seguir así hasta conseguir lo que buscaba. no se decía a sí mismo, vaya, no hay manera, supongo que acabaré por cambiar de idea y probaré un trabajo de vendedor. En vez de eso, se decía, he venido aquí a asociarme con Edison y eso es lo que haré, aunque me lleve el resto de la vida. Estaba convencido de ello. ¿Qué historia tan diferente contrarían los hombres si adaptaran un propósito definido y mantuvieran ese propósito hasta que el tiempo los convirtiese en una obsesión obstinada? Quizás el joven Barnes no lo supiera en aquel entonces, pero su determinación inconmovible, su perseverancia en mantenerse firme en su único deseo, estaba destinada a acabar con todos los obstáculos y a darle la oportunidad que buscaba. Los inesperados disfraces de la oportunidad. Cuando la oportunidad surgió, apareció con una forma diferente y desde una dirección distinta de las que Barnes había esperado. Ese es uno de los caprichos de la oportunidad. Tiene el curioso hábito de aparecerse por la puerta de atrás y, a menudo, viene disimulada con la forma del infortunio o de la frustración temporal. Tal vez por eso hay tanta gente que no consigue reconocerla. Edison acababa de perfeccionar un nuevo invento, conocido en aquella época como la máquina de dictar de Edison. Sus vendedores no mostraron entusiasmo por aquel aparato. No confiaban en que se pudiera vender sin grandes esfuerzos. Barnes vio su oportunidad, que había surgido discretamente, oculta en una máquina estrambótica que no interesaba más que a Barnes y al inventor. Barnes supo que podría vender la máquina de dictar de Edison. Se lo sugirió a este y de inmediato obtuvo su oportunidad. Vendió la máquina. En realidad, lo hizo con tanto éxito que Edison le dio un contrato para distribuirla y venderla por toda la nación. A partir de aquella asociación, Barnes se hizo rico, pero también consiguió algo mucho más importante. Demostró que uno realmente puede pensar y hacerse rico.